Well, hello there, and welcome to another Instagram Headlines episode on True Crime Bones with me, your host Marissa, also known as Bones. The month is October, and the year is 2020, of course. And a Chatsworth's man, accused of killing his wife because he was unhappy with her decision to divorce him and move abroad, pleaded not guilty to murder charges the Durban High Court this week. The unemployed 54-year-old Navin Chandalal is accused of the murder of 65-year-old retired nurse and community activist Jennifer Pillay on December 24th, 2018. The mother of two was found lying beside the bath in their Silver Glen home, strangled to death on Christmas Eve. And without further ado, let's get into it. So with that in mind, let's just for a moment take a step back in order for us to learn a little bit more about the victim, you know, getting a picture of who Jennifer Pillay really was as a person, before getting back to some of the statements made in court this week during this ongoing trial. But first, quick disclaimer, I'm sorry for mispronunciation of the names. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a few more. I am really trying my best, honestly. I even went as far as recorded people saying the names so I can listen to it over and over. But my brain is just like, no, you ain't doing that. You can't. So, I'm sorry. I really am. I am trying. That aside, let's get into it. The 65-year-old Jennifer, or Jenny, Pillay was a mother and also a grandmother, was described as by almost everyone as being the most amazing, friendly, and helpful person in the community, always ready to lend a hand. Jennifer actually only retired as a nurse in 2016, after numerous years of practice in Dubai. So basically, she only got like to live out 2 years of her retirement. I mean, damn, that is bad. She had two children, a daughter, Karen Maretz, who lives in Australia, and a son, Gino Pillay, who lives in London, which sadly was one of the attributes that led to her being murdered. As Jennifer was planning on divorcing her husband, Navin, and relocating to London. In fact, she already started selling some of her possessions in preparation for the move. But unfortunately, it was all in vain, as Jennifer's lifeless body was discovered not long after. The God-fearing and community-minded mother slash grandmother was found dead in a bathroom of her Chatsworth home in Silver Glen, leaning against her bath, strangled to death on Christmas Eve of 2018. Jennifer Pillay's funeral was held on the 28th of December 2018, it's like 4 days after she was murdered. Now, keep in mind that at this specific point in time, no one, like, 100% for sure suspected Jennifer's husband, Navin, whom she married in 2003, to be the killer. Well, I mean, personally, I do believe there were people that were like, yeah, I definitely smell a rat, and suspected Navin from the get-go. but that might just be me. Anyway, Jennifer's funeral was held at the new Bethesda Full Gospel Church that Friday, where she was later cremated at Clear State Crematorium. Now, Norman was not at the funeral, as he was admitted to hospital on the night of the murder. Well, shortly thereafter, of course. As he would later go on to state in court that he suffers from depression. And because of that, he was heavily sedated due to self-medicating on that fateful night, which is why he was admitted to hospital, where he spent the next couple of days just sleeping, including the day of the funeral. Pastor Danny Fillet, who was the officiating minister at her funeral, said that Jennifer was a committed member of his congregation. This is a quote from him. "Jennifer's death has come as a shock to us. She was a God-fearing person. Ever since she retired from nursing 2 years ago, she was very committed to the church work. She was a loving and caring person. We remember she was excited about the birth of her grandchild last year and stayed in Australia for about 4 months at the time." End quote. "She was the best," said Jennifer's neighbor and friend, Tulule Nkazi. She also went on to quote, this is me quoting her, "Jennifer was the reason I decided to buy a second home on Riversdale Road. She made it feel like home for me and my family. She was caring, loving, an active member of our community. Every day, morning and afternoon, she would SMS to see that everything was well with me and my family. Her death came as a shock to me, as I had heard nothing out of the ordinary that day. I was shattered when I read on our community WhatsApp group about her death. It didn't make sense, as I spoke to her the night before, and she seemed fine." End quote. Tulile also said that she was saddened when Jennifer told her that she was moving to the UK to be with her son, Gino, and he even bought some of her possessions. Now, with all of this, we have an idea of who Jennifer was, what type of person she was, how people saw her, which, from all accounts, is an amazing person. So, let's go on to the next. Okay, so, before we get into the statements, let's start with the indictment. According to the indictment presented by the senior state advocate, Christian Shaw, Jennifer planned to move overseas and live with her children. Navin was unhappy about this and decided to kill Jennifer. On December 24, and in circumstances unknown to the state, he killed Jennifer and left her body in the bathroom of their home. A post-mortem established Jennifer's death was the result of suspected compressions of the neck. So now, let's get into some of the statements made in court this week during the trial. I'm going to start with Navin, move on to Pastor Presley Kirsten, then Place son Gino, it's just going to be small parts, Dougie Pirmal, it's Place's brother, and then his sister-in-law, Fatima. So let's start. In a statement, Navin denied that he caused or contributed towards the death of Pillay or planned her death. In the statement read out by his attorney, Chris Gordon, Navin said he had struggled to remember what had happened on the day Jennifer died. However, more recently he began remembering. Now, from here on, if I say quote and unquote, it's going to be the quotes of Navin. And I'm going to do that so with every person, you know, whose statement I have going on. So let's start. Navin said, he said on the day of the alleged murder of Jennifer, we had married in January 2003, complained of pain in the neck. She went to have a nap and so did he. Navin said he was awakened by the sound of the phone ringing. Quote, in that sleepy mood, I woke up and walked towards the phone. End quote. He said it was Gino, Jennifer's son, who had called to inquire about his mother's whereabouts. Quote, I think I told him that I thought she was asleep and I think he told me to wake her up. End quote. Navin said while going to Jennifer's bedroom, he noticed the keys of the gate and the sliding door were open and the keys were gone. Quote, I then looked outside to check if she was there and I didn't see her. I then went back inside the house to check for her there. I went up into her bedroom and when I opened the door, I only saw the dogs in her room and she was not there. I then decided to exit her room and saw the bathroom door ajar. End quote. Now Vince said when he opened the bathroom door, he saw Jennifer lying on the floor. Quote, she was lying against the bathroom tub. In a state of panic, I rushed to her and felt that she was cold. I moved her, trying to get a response from her. I then ripped out the collar she had around her neck, trying to revive her, but she was still not responding. I called out her name, but still no response. I then put my hand by her neck to feel if she was breathing, and she was cold, and I could not feel her breath. I tried shaking her, among other things that I can't quite recall at this stage. End quote. Navin said during this time, he heard the phone ring again and answered it. Quote, it was Gino. I told him what had happened and I think he told me to press the panic button, which I did. End quote. Navin said he recalled the security company, Blaise brother and paramedics arriving at the house. Quote, I admit that further attempts were made to revive Jennifer by the paramedics and that Jennifer was declared dead at the scene. End quote. Now Vince said that he and Pillay were contemplating divorce due to her wanting to relocate with her children abroad. Quote, and should such a divorce take place, I was going to be, an impeccable divorce as I was not willing to leave my family and relocate abroad. End quote. Navin said he had an income of 4,000 rand, which he gave to Pillay to use for their upkeep. Now, that was Navin's statement. Let's get into Pastor Pillay. So from now on, if I say quote, it's going to be him. On Monday, Pastor Presley Kirsten Pillay, not to be confused with the Pastor Danny Pillay, who we talked about earlier, was at her funeral. Anyway. Pastor Presley Kirsten Pillay told the court that he had known Navin and Pillay for about 25 years, and they were long-standing members of the new Bethesda Full Gospel Church in Chatsworth. Kirsten Pillay said, in May 2018, Jennifer was in Australia with a daughter when she messaged him requesting a meeting. Quote, I met her and Mr. Chandler in July. She had a problem with finance and was having a problem with him not paying the rent while she was with her daughter overseas. End quote. He said that Navin did not speak much and only said he was unemployed and did not have any money. Oh, there's so much I want to say about that, but never mind. Let's get into it. Kirsten Pillay also said that he was asked by Jennifer to pray for Navin in November that year. So it's the year of 2018 still, obviously. Quote, she said that Mr. Chandler was not coming out of his room and that he was not speaking to her. When I arrived at the home, he greeted me and sat in the lounge. He did not respond when I asked him why he was not speaking. I prayed for them and left, as you cannot have a meeting if one person is not speaking. End quote. Now I'm going to have to agree. I mean, that is not a meeting. I mean, well, that is how I have a meeting with myself, but the thing is, I answer myself back. That's the problem. Now, we are finished with the pastor. We're going to get into Pillay's son, Gino. So from here on, if I say quote, it's him. Pillay's son, Gino, testified through a video call from the UK. He said that on December 24th, he became concerned when he did not receive a WhatsApp message from his mother. After trying to call for the entire day, someone answered at 5:15 p.m. Quote, I could only hear breathing and I tried to get them to speak. He ended the call but continued trying until 5:45 p.m. when Navin answered. I knew something was wrong. He never answered the phone. I asked him, where's my mom? In an angry and stern manner. He said, she is sleeping. So I told him to go wake her up. After waiting for about 2 minutes, I cut the call and called my aunt to tell her what had happened. And she said that she would go check. End quote. Gina said he attempted to call Pillay's phone again. Quote, at 6:05 p.m, Navin answered again and said, sorry, she is gone. End quote. He then called his aunt Fatima Perumal again. Gina told the court he was aware that Pillay planned to relocate. She planned to sell the house and spend time with both of her children. In fact, she was planning on moving in with them actually. So, done with her son. Next is Pillay's brother. So, we do a quote. It's from Dougie Perumal. Pillay's brother, Dougie Perumal, said when he arrived at the house, paramedics and a security company were already there. He said Navin was trying to open the sliding door. Quote, I then followed the paramedics up the stairs and Navin went straight into his bedroom and closed the door. End quote. Perumal said he stood at the bathroom door while paramedics attended to Pillay. He said Pillay was lying on the left-hand side with a back against the bath. Quote, front of her body was facing towards the toilet. The paramedics straightened her body and continued to do vital tests. When they were done, They said she was deceased. I then went into the bedroom and got a duvet to cover her. End quote. Piramal said that he went into the master bedroom and found Navin under the blanket. First of all, before I quote him, I just want to say, what the hell? What? That's the first thing you do. Go and climb, cover under the blanket? No. Okay, let's get back to it. Just going to read that part again and then quote. Piramal said, he went into the master bedroom and found Navin under the blanket. Quote, I pulled the blanket off his head and shook him. He murmured. I asked him, do you know my sister is dead? He murmured again. Something like, end quote. Now, just so you know. Basically, her brother, again, the fact that he didn't, he is such a great man for just shaking that, just shaking Navin. I mean, so when it went in, found him, shook him, you know, what happened, what's going on, and Navin just like, you know, I feel like just, right now. Piramal added, he had later walked around the property, but could not find any signs of forced entry, you know, to make sure. So, this already gives me an idea. No forced entry, they had to happen from the inside. Lastly, Fatima Piramal testified that she arrived after her brother-in-law, Dougie, and saw Pillay's body. She noticed bruises around her arms and neck and pointed these out to the paramedics. So yeah, that was all information I have for you right now as the trial continues. Now it's still going on. More statements, you know, to be like given and everything, but that's all information available right now. I have to say, if you guys are okay with the quoting, I'm trying, but dang, I mean, let me know what you guys think, what your thoughts are, and how you think, like, regarding the brother of Pillay, Jennifer Pillay, her brother, Dougie. I still feel like the fact that he just shook that man and only get a hoo out of it, that's great. Like, I'll go in like gun blazing, you know? And the poor son, I mean, whew. Yes! So, yeah. Another mini episode done. Can you believe it? I know. I can't. Honestly. But, with that being said, thank you if you made it through, like, till here. You are an absolute legend. And I'm saying it again, legendary. So, till the next time, ta-ta!